This podcast is made possible by the generosity of supporting members. Please visit dharmaocean.org to learn more about becoming a supporting member. You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. In this talk, Reggie discusses the non-theistic view of the spiritual journey. Theism, he says, is an approach to spirituality marked by an allegiance to ideas about purity, brightness, and heavenly perfection. Non-theism, on the other hand, celebrates the cycle of life and death and embraces life in its totality. This talk was given at a class Reggie taught in 2011 in Boulder, Colorado.
Good evening, everybody. So, this evening, happily, we're going to open the sadhana up as a practice. And there are people here who've been doing this for 40 years and people who've never done it. How many people have been doing this since the 70s, this practice? Okay, and how many people have never done it? Okay, that's great. That's just what we're looking for. So I want to say a few things about this practice, and we've been talking about the Sadhana Mahamudra, obviously, for a couple weeks now. The purpose of this text is to bring us into a state of intimacy with, dare I say, reality. According to the Vajrayana, and amazingly enough, as I've mentioned, also something that is becoming more and more a matter of consensus among people who do quantum physics and people who do astrophysics, there is a kind of universal process that reverberates throughout the entire universe. And there's a lot to be said about that, and I'd love to offer a course on it sometime, which I would call the cosmos and the body. But I think the basic idea, as some of you may know, is that there actually is no center of the universe. There is no center, and there is no definitive reality, such as the universe is real and we're part of it. It doesn't work like that. There are many centers in the universe. In fact, even within the range of the known universe, every galactic cluster is a center, and from its point of view, everything is expanding. In the same way, it's true of atoms. You know, every atom is a center, and the universe arranges itself around that center. Every form of life, every level from the earliest cells up to us, up to the universe itself, is an organism. And we are each centers, and we are at the center of the universe, truly. Each one of us, actually, is at the center of the universe. Because the universe is made up of individual centers. There is no fundamental center. And the other amazing thing, and this is something that astrophysicists will tell you, but it's something very deeply embedded within the tantric tradition, that every center has reflected in it the processes and realities and structures of the totality. And in our experience, is the it's not that the universe is what's real and then it's reflected in us, we're reflections of it. The universe is no more or less an entity, a living organism with its own sentience. It's no less or more than we are. The dignity of the human person is it's real. And the dignity, the sacredness, the beauty of the human person, each one of us, as a fundamental incarnation of the totality, is no different from a star or a galaxy or an atom or the whole universe itself. The journey of the Vajrayana is to realize this. It's to know in our experience, in our incarnation, in our bodies, that the experience that we have in its totality is actually the experience of the universe itself, and that we have access to everything in our human incarnation. We have the access to reality as it is and how reality works. So we've talked about that a little bit, but I mentioned that at the beginning of the sadhana because this there are two things I wanted to just briefly point to before we start practicing. One is the fact that what the sadhana wants us to do is to awaken to that fact, awaken to the sacredness of our life in its totality. When we met last week, we got up to the point of the supplication where Rinpoche is saying, you know, I live in the slime and the muck of the dark age, but I aspire to see, you know, I aspire to see the, you know, the light. I aspire to see the vastness of space. I aspire to see the freedom, you know, as it's embodied in the lineage. And sometimes we're a little bit confused by that because we have this very, you know, many of us feel very deeply practiced individual, Chogyam Trungpa, very, been through a lot, received a lot of teachings. Surely if anybody has escaped from the slime and muck of the dark age, it's him. And he also makes reference to depression. What's that all about? I mean, here's this great master. What is he doing getting depressed? You know, we thought, you know, you practice meditation and you work out your issues, and you don't get depressed anymore. You don't feel bad anymore. You don't feel trapped in darkness. You don't feel buried in samsara. And here we go. We've had, you know, the sadhana's opened up and we have the beauty of the cosmos and we take refuge in the, in, you know, earth, water, fire, and all the elements. We're shown the charnel ground where all the rock mountains are awake and the rivers are flowing with wisdom, and then we meet the lineage figures, and then all of a sudden he starts talking about being depressed, and he starts talking about being upset and anxious and buried in the slime and muck of the dark age. And we could ask ourselves, what is that all about? That, you know, in a way, that question really opens us up to the heart of this whole tradition. In the theistic traditions, and, you know, India has plenty of theistic traditions, so we're not picking on, you know, Islam or Christianity or Judaism. I mean, all, you know, all the high religions have theistic parts. In the theistic traditions, reality is up there, and it's bright, and it's away from this world, and it's away from suffering, and we need to get from here to there. And in the Christian tradition, you can't do it yourself. You actually need somebody else to take you and put you up there, namely the Savior. You have to be saved from your life. You have to be saved from your own situation by something external. And the non-theistic, so the reference point is up there. It's heaven, it's bright, it's free, it's open, and there's no more death. You know, as it says, you know, there's no more death there. Everything is glorious. So the reference point is that in the non-theistic traditions, of which there are not that many, but there are some, especially in the indigenous world, in the non-theistic traditions, the reference point is this. The reference point is ourselves and our immediate life and everything that goes on here. That's the reference point. And within that reference point is given the entire journey. In this case, there's a very profound process that goes on through the sadhana and through the Vajrayana tradition, which is that we appreciate the cycle of life and death in our own existence. And we appreciate the cycle of depression and elation, and the cycle of sometimes, whether we're male or female, being very, very feminine, and other times being very masculine, at times being very open, at times being very closed. All of the, the processes of life become themselves profound statements of reality. And our task in the Vajrayana is to surrender to the natural process of our own life. Rinpoche makes this interesting statement in the sadhana commentary, source book that we're reading. He says that that depression is useful. Depression is helpful. And what he means by that is that, and I know this because when I first met him, that I've been through, a tremendous amount of depression for years and years and years, actually, when I first met him. And one of the first things he said was that depression is a sacred sorrow. Depression is a surrender into the darkness. And in Vajrayana, the darkness, which is, it's a visual experience. I mean, if you've ever been very, very depressed, or you've ever received, a terminal diagnosis, there are certain things in life. If you've lost a very central relationship, it's almost as if the whole world goes dark, and you literally look out, and all you see is gray. Even if it's a beautiful summer day and there's a flower garden outside of your window, everything looks gray. So the darkness is visual. And the darkness also is, it's somatic. There's a feeling of being, we've all experienced depression, so, I'm just kind of talking for all of us. There's a feeling of being drawn down away from the brightness of the social world and the busy world and the energetic world, being drawn down, down, down. Because in our culture, the underworld isn't really acknowledged as a creative reality, for many of us, we feel we're losing our life. We're dying. Even in the best of moments, that is what it feels like. We're being drawn down into the darkness. The body feels heavy. We feel exhausted. We would like to sleep, but we can't escape because the energy of depression actually is extraordinarily intense. And it's not only a physical experience, it's a cosmic experience because we're being drawn into the earth. It's as if it's late autumn and the seeds of our life have been scattered on the ground, and the wind has blown dirt over them, and then the snow has come, and we disappear literally. And sometimes we disappear for a day, and sometimes for a week, and sometimes for years and years and years. But it's an incredibly, if we can realize that that's where the work is happening, that's where the most important work is happening, during that period, then we can begin to look at what happens when we actually give into it and go with it and allow ourselves to be dismantled. In my own case, it was very interesting. I grew up on the East Coast, kind of WASP family, go to the best schools, become a minister, a doctor, a lawyer, You know that kind of world, and it's a nightmare. Actually, that's why I never go back there anymore. And during this 8-year period, which I've referred to, already in this class, it was pretty much dismantled, and it sort of dissolved and decayed and fell away. And it needed to be that long because it was so entrenched in my genetic system, in my family history and the whole scene. It needed to be a lot longer than it does for most people. But at a certain point, dawn came, which I didn't really think dawn was ever going to come, but there was a certain point when dawn actually started to show itself in this sort of very slight light on the horizon. It was brown, and you didn't know if it was pollution or if it was going to be a real day, and the real sun was going to come up in a real sky. And but when we go through that kind of thing, what we see is that in a sense, we are taking this suffering world of ours that we've been born into, and that we have been, in our generosity as humans, we have taken on the suffering, the confusion, and the chaos of a particular family and a particular culture and a particular time and place into our body, into ourself. And it's an extraordinarily generous and kind thing for us to have done. But the next step is we have to let the largeness of reality, we have to let the light of the sun and the freedom that is our basic nature and the vastness of our own sympathies, we have to somehow bring those together with the suffering that we've taken on as humans. So, in some sense, that's the work. The work is bringing together the world, initially that we take so personally, but it's not personal. All of the issues that I have, or that you have, or that we had, these are issues of hundreds of thousands and millions and even billions of people. We have to take those situations, which we call samsara, and we have to aerate them and oxygenate them, and we need to bring them together with the fundamental sacredness, the outlook of sacredness of all that is. And we need to open ourselves. And when we do, strangely enough, we begin to realize that the ordinary world of life and death, of suffering and happiness, the ordinary world is an absolutely pure and powerful and liberating expression of reality. And then we begin, and we're talking about Vajrayana now, we begin to be able to live in the world in a way that takes advantage of every situation, that appreciates every human condition, that sees the freedom that's potential in all people, and that is governed by this very profound empathy and sympathy and love, for everything that is. So the Vajrayana, interestingly, as we've discussed quite a bit, it's not about getting away from the world at all. It's not even about being in the world and gaining this view. It's about embracing the world and embracing the darkness. And when we do that, then this process of transformation can occur, because really, if we didn't take on the profound suffering of the world fully and completely, ourselves, into our bodies, into our psyches, if we didn't, fall into the most dire darkness, and if we weren't bespattered with the most, the filthiest mud, we wouldn't be of any use in this world at all. So I feel that every human that is born has come here out of a deep and profound altruism and sympathy for this world. And that all of us, yes, we suffer tremendously and we go through periods of confusion, but we do it so we can be helpful to other people. There are, you know, there are temptations to run, and certainly, you know, we've talked a little bit about spiritual materialism. There is, of course, you know, a temptation for us to try to run to some higher spiritual level. And even within Buddhism, we see that, you know, people want to just, they want to get into the big space, they want to feel freedom all the time, and they turn against reality, they turn against their own darkness, their own pain and confusion, and they want to use spirituality as a way to escape. And while that may be, you know, have its place in the world, that's not Vajrayana. Vajrayana is that you draw closer and closer to this world of ours, and meantime you do it as a practitioner, and you find your freedom in the darkness. And that's what that supplication is all about. And Rinpoche talks about a little bit in the sadhana commentary. He doesn't say very much. But I wanted to mention it because sometimes people have expressed confusion why, after this glorious entry, all of a sudden we're talking about depression. That's why. Because depression is the grist for the mill. It's the fuel that awakens, you know, genuine love for other people.
To download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.